Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have a very, very exciting show for you today. Those of you who are out there, hang in there. We got something really special for you. So let's listen to a little Martin Luther King, and we're going to get this show on the road. Let's get this show on the road. There's nothing like dealing with these issues that's across our country today. We must continue to stand up and fight. We must continue to do what needs to be done. We must make sure that people understand how important it is to take a stand against corruption, against this evil, wicked government that we're standing up against. We must make sure that people understand there's nothing in the world more important than standing up what is right. I tell you, I am excited today. I am excited just to be part of what's happening in the world today. So we're going to listen to a little Martin Luther King, and we're going to take it from there. So let's get ourselves ready for it. Don't look like we're going to be listening to Martin Luther King after all. Anyway, we are here and we are here to stay. Let's go to our first guest.
Good evening, and I am here to report on two brief items that are going on in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And these brief items are reported on the website bhbanco.org. Benton Harbor mayor purposely leaves city streets unplowed for 1 week. Yeah, we've had a lot of snow. Benton Harbor mayor James Hightower is a great supporter of the blood-sucking corporation Whirlpool. The mayor instructed the snow cleaning team not to clean the streets in his own town. A snow emergency is still in place in Benton Harbor. This is a week later, to keep people from parking on city streets so plows can get through. Many residents, however, are wondering when their streets will be plowed. The city is impassable almost everywhere, not drivable, not walkable. The snow is knee-deep. Ms. Jefferson, a woman living in Benton Harbor, finally made it out of her home on Benton Avenue, and she stated that it's hard to get out of the house. After a lot of effort, I was able to push snow away from the door and get outside. She said her street hasn't been plowed since last Sunday's storm, and she is stuck at home with no food. After a week of being inside without food, she doesn't feel well. She also states, it's so cold inside my house, I have ice on the inside of my windows. No one can pick you up or come bring you anything because the roads are so bad. And that's the end of her quote. Mayor James Hightower has a strong bias against the black population in Benton Harbor, even though he's black. His goal is to protect the Whirlpool Corporation, so he's a total stooge. The second thing that is reported on bhbanco.org is the Mayor Hightower recall signatures have been turned in. The recall of Benton Harbor Mayor James Hightower will be going forward. The signatures were turned in Wednesday, January 8th at 9 a.m. The recall action is taking place because the mayor voted no to allowing the city income tax to be placed on the November 15th ballot. Mayor Hightower said the commissioners need to think of the city debt as bills needing to be paid by the people, not by non-residents. What he did not say was that non-residents are more than 90% of the working people in Benton Harbor. So they come in and then they leave. If the residents would have known about the $2.3 million loan, they would have passed the income tax. The recall signatures were collected with a lot of hard work, and they are actually the signatures number more than the votes that Mayor Hightower got in the election. So I think maybe you have something to add to that has been left out, maybe?
Well, you know, what we did, we went in there and we got the signatures, got them prepared, and right now the Whirlpool Corporation, the courthouse, the sheriff's department, they're all willing to come out and harass the people to make sure that these signatures don't go through and they're not good. But we're right on top of it. We know what we need to do. You can finish reading that, and then what we'll do, we'll elaborate a little bit further on it.
Okay, we'll do.
You still there?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay, so have a great show and continue right on with Martin Luther King.
All right, let's see with Martin Luther King. Then we're going to bring on the one and only Ralph Pointer and Lynn Stewart. Well, as a matter of fact, we're going to go straight to them now so we can get more time so they can elaborate on exactly what's going on with them. My good friend Ralph from New York. I know how difficult it is these days living in New York, but Ralph Pointer, the man of the hour, the man of the moment, the big guy. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Well, thank you, Reverend Pinckney, and I thought you were the big guy and the good guy and the guy of the moment.
No, you're the man, Ralph. You're the man. You have done some incredible work, and I tell you, we have to take our hat off to you. You are such a tremendous guy. I tell you, when you told me that you was going to be going and fix a roof, I said, that is amazing. Not only do you fight out in the field, you also take care of your business, what needs to be done. You are just a tremendous person. And I tell you, I got a lot of love for you, lots of love. And I just want you to just continue doing what you're doing and just stay focused, don't get sidetracked. And we are here to support you on all levels. Whatever needs to be done, you got us.
Well, here I am with the result of the people's will and the people's struggle. And way out front in the people's struggle is Reverend Pinckney. And you have told us what was going to happen, and it happened, and it's going to be, I believe, it's going to be a great influence in solving our problems. But first, before I get into that, I have a person here who I have talked about prayers and all, and your work on behalf of the people, and I'd like her to say something.
Hi,
go right ahead. You don't even have to ask me twice.
I'm a little worried you're going to get Ralph is not going to be able to fit in any of his hats anymore because his head will be so big. But I think he actually richly deserves all the praise. He has really done a tremendous job, and people are so excited and thrilled to have been part of it, and he made everybody part of it. All they ever had to do was, you know, say, yes, I will make a call, yes, I will do that, I'll be out in front of the White House next Tuesday. Whatever it was called upon people to do, they were very, very happy to do. And now that we have won this, you know, people are telling me that their reaction was tears of joy. That was the most common reaction. Just tears of joy at the thought that they had actually accomplished what we started out to do, and it is so important. I'm still waiting to go to Sloan Kettering. I have an appointment. They needed additional material from Texas and also from some of my earlier medical work in New York, and so we're providing that. We're getting it together. And within the next week or so, I will go up and be totally evaluated. They are very, very thorough, which is a very good thing. So until we know exactly what that is going to entail and what exactly they are going to require of me, we're not making any plans. But we know somewhere down the road, we're going to have a great welcome home and we know that somewhere down the road we're going to do some, what would I say, in the old days used to call it whistle stop. We used to go from place to place, and we'll be doing some of that too. So, and certainly all our friends in Detroit and certainly on the West Coast, every place, we will be stopping by to give them thanks and to be personal, upfront and personal, as they say. So, but as I say, you can't give enough praise to Ralph. He really, he could not be defeated. He was on the case 24/7. And it made all the difference in the world. Here he is back again, Rev.
Well, Lambie, before I do that, let me ask you another question, because I want to know, what are you allowed to do? I know you're not allowed to leave the state as of yet. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
I haven't asked to leave the state, though. That's
okay.
Also correct. So, I mean, I have every reason to believe that when the time comes that I'm just saying goodbye to my college boy, my grandson is on his way back to school. I have every reason to believe that if I ask to leave the state, it will probably be granted. I don't know that. But
right.
The first question is, do the doctors want me to be doing things? I mean, you know, traveling can be stressful. I know you had a rather stressful trip to Providence at one point. so you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, absolutely. I know that drive, and I know the driver. So I understand where you're going with that, Lynn. But here's what I would like to ask you. We usually have our fundraising dinner in October. And I don't know whether you'll be able to attend or whether you're able to come or whatever, but if by chance that you be feeling well enough and that you're able to come, we would love for you to be one of our speakers in October. So it's a long time off, but I'm just putting it out there now so I can start making plans to see how it's going to turn out. Because last year we had Danny Glover, but to have a Lynn Stewart would be such a tremendous thing, and to propel this whole community to a whole different level, I think it'd be wonderful. But like I said, I'm not positive. You know, it all depends on what you can do, and if you can't, we can always you can always send Ralph. Okay.
Now you know how to hurt a guy, Ralph.
I know. See, Ralph been up here so many times, and every time he came up here, he almost had a fight with the sheriff's department, Lynn. I think you need to know that.
That's why I love him so much.
That's right. Look, he came up here two times, and two times he almost had a fight with the sheriff's department here. I mean, they were trying to pick a fight with us, but they were trying to pick a fight with the wrong man because Ralph wasn't backing down.
Let me tell you, that's his history, and I know I've been with him for 50 years, so I know his history, and he doesn't back down. He's one tough hombre, as they used to say in the Western movies. But as to October, Reverend, you know, if I can do it, I will do it. I would love to be there. You know, I have, I went to Hope College, as you may or may not.
Oh, right, that's right, absolutely.
My first roommate came from Benton Harbor, actually. So if I can be there, I will be there.
All right, well, Lynn, you just made my day. You know, I don't think we can ask anything any better of you. But we want you to make sure that you be healthy, take care of yourself. If flying going to be too tough for you, we got a substitute to come. You know, we got a guy that wears that funny looking hat, and we'll welcome him. I just love that guy with that hat.
Someday I'm going to tell you how the first 20 years of our relationship I was Ralph's old lady, Lynn.
Uh-huh.
The second 20 years of our relationship, he was Lynn's guy, Ralph. So, you know, we balance this out all through the years, and there's no reason to stop now. It certainly is a combination that work. And it
absolutely, absolutely. I know that we are so happy that you are home. And I tell you, it's really been tremendous. And I've been talking to people about, you know, how we can help you, still help you up in New York. And people been calling and you know, Reverend, we got off the phone on last Sunday. I got 4 or 5 calls in reference to you. People were saying they were so happy that you was home. Is there anything that they can do for you? I said, there's always something you can do. So let's try and make plans and do it. Because people always say, is there anything I can do for you? But the point is, for them doing it is a whole different story. So whatever we need to do for you, Lynn Stewart, you definitely got me. And I tell you, and most of the listeners, they will do what we ask them to do, most of them.
Right. People should just, you know, tune in to lynnstewart.org, and that will probably tell them we're hoping to do some updates this week, write some stuff, and bring people up to date. And hopefully, you know, because I know, you know, in movement work, you don't want to let the grass grow under your feet. We have a fabulous victory. We need to build off it. Everybody understands that. We still have so many political prisoners in jail. I still feel, I thought this morning about the women behind me at Carswell. I mean, there's so much work to be done. So we're not going to let any grass grow under our feet, but people should just lynnstewart.org, that's Lynn with an E, and if they check that website and they want to know what they can do, they can find out there.
Wow, you know, Lynn, that is really, really, really tremendous, and we're going to stay focused. We're going to stay with you, and I want you to think in terms of next October, and let's see where we at, but the most important thing is your health. And you able to do it. Don't, you know, if you can't do it, we will eventually have you here and actually to be our speaker. Because we're looking forward to it, Lynn. And the community right now, you know, a lot of people know about you. They know about you through the radio show itself, but they also know about you, your work that you have done over the years. And you, your work stands out. And we are so proud just to have someone like you this close to us right in the mix. A true soldier, a true fighter, and I want you to know that we love you very, very much.
Next October, Reverend, it's
all right. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. And listen, I know we don't want to hold you too long, because I know Ralph, he's ready to roll. If I know him, he can go. And he's we're just happy. I tell you, I'm so happy, Lynn, just to have you on every week. And people get a chance to listen to you. When we got off the phone last week, people was calling, and they was excited that you was home and stuff like that. And like you said, it's a victory for all of us, you know. And I think that they took the time out and really, really was excited about you being home. And that's what I want. I want people to be excited about you being home. So that'll be a victory. Now we got to go to the next level and bring somebody else home.
Right on, Reverend Pinky. And as I told Lynn while she was in prison and feeling bad, I says, if you only had a way to listen to Reverend Pinky pray for you, you would know that you were coming home. And now I want to jump to the question and the problems at hand. And one of the things that I was thinking of this morning is I read the New York Times, and I'm going to ask Lynn to listen in to correct me if I made a mistake, reading the New York Times about how the government of Richmond, California, was looking to solve the people's problems. What they want to do is use eminent domain to solve the problem of foreclosures by buying up the mortgages. And, of course, we know the bankers are angry about that. All of those who are taking advantage of the people are upset. And I remember there was a gentleman out in Benton Harbor, Michigan, who was talking about using the city apparatus to solve the problem in the courts and in the tax situation, to educate the people to understand how they can use government to solve their problems, and how those people, the enemy, understood what you were doing and gathered together all of their forces to defeat the tax proposal you had made. And now I'm looking at Richmond, California, and all of the people who understand the banksters and are on the side of the banksters are getting together to defeat the people who were trying to use government to solve the people's problems. They know who's on their side, but we have to know who's on our side. The people have shown that they understood that Lynn Stewart is on their side, and they supported Lynn Stewart to the tune of 45,000, and people from the what we consider the heads of governments around the world, to the person in the street, the people who look down and the people who look up and who have leisure and money, supported Lynn Stewart. And now we have to educate the people to support those who support them. We have to get people to understand what is in their own best interest. And when you explained a couple of weeks how the people were so confused about taxes and what taxes meant and how an increase in taxes on a corporation would save their lives and save their city, they could not do it. And this seems to be our struggle now, to make people understand their own best interests. And you have been a leader in that one, attacking the NAACP that did not support the people, attacking corporations that did not support the people. People were misled by the terrorist media, and I say terrorist media, that destroys their understanding of what is important in their own lives. And you have been, you told us that fiscal emergency managers were not only coming to Benton Harbor, they were coming to the rest of the country. You told us that we were going to be destroyed by the corporate governance that we are involved in. They are going to take our pensions. They took them in Detroit, and you have said way before anybody else that they're going to take them across the country, and now we see it happening. You told us about privatization, and then you said, and I remember your words, it's coming to you soon if we don't stop it. And now I say again to the people, you have proven your leadership. You shouldn't have to say anything but follow me, because I have been telling you the way. Well, we have to insist that people begin to follow those who told them the truth. Then these people must support those who supported them with truth. We must support Snowden. We must support Chelsea Manning, as we have supported Lynn Stewart. We must support Reverend Pinckney. We must support all of those people who are out front telling us what's coming down the pike. And soon we have to recognize, after it has come down the pike, after we recognize and separate the truth tellers from the liars, that we must act in our own interest and support the truth tellers. And I thank you again for having the opportunity to present a truth teller on our behalf in the name of Lynn Stewart to the people, and have the people support that. And I'm saying to the people, there are other truth tellers out there that they must support to save their own lives, and Reverend Pinckney is foremost among these truth tellers. And so we must work out something where Reverend Pinckney becomes the mayor of Benton Harbor, where Reverend Pinckney becomes the governor of Michigan, and Reverend Pinckney becomes a leader in the people's minds. We must teach them to understand who is helping them philosophically, religiously, culturally, and above all, in my field, in my heart, politically. Reverend Pinckney, keep it going. Thank you so much for keeping it going. And I'm going to be a supporter of Banco, Reverend Pinckney, and Benton Harbor. Thanks again for your time.
Ralph, thank you so much. I truly appreciate that. And you know how we are here in the city of Benton Harbor. You know, a guy called me after the show, and he wanted to know where was Benton Harbor. He said, where is Benton Harbor? He said, I have never heard of the city of Benton Harbor. I said, well, it's about 70 miles from Chicago. It's about 45 miles from South Bend, Indiana. It's about 75 miles from Grand Rapids, 45 miles from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and 179 miles from Detroit. So now you know exactly where it is. I know you're listening because you wanted to know, and I told you so last week just to remind you. See, people never heard of little bitty Benton Harbor before because, you know, we only have about 10,000 people here now. They're driving us completely out of this community. We only have 10,000 people, but we got two armored tanks here, two, not one. Most cities don't even have one. We have two. We have a mayor who just so happened to be black and hates black people or fights for the corporations, whatever he do. But my point is, Ralph, is that we have to learn to stand together. We have to show the world what we're capable of doing. We have to get out there and fight. There's folks right now in jail that need to be home with their families also. So we're going to put on a blitz and start choosing people and get out here and work and get them out also, Ralph. And I tell you, the work you've done, a book should be made and written about it. Because there's I know what you were doing because I was talking to you all the time. I know what you was doing. You was in Washington. You was everywhere. You were flying all over the country. And you was doing it from your heart. So, hey, man, you know, much love, much respect. And I just want to tell you, you keep up the good work.
And I conclude with, where is Benton Harbor? It is the epicenter of our struggle, the struggle of oppressed people to have a modicum of freedom and community. And you are the epicenter of our struggle. That's where Benton Harbor is, and we have to pay attention to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ralph. And I'm just looking forward to coming to New York and being with y'all and you know, just sitting down, just doing some things, getting out here and just making sure we're doing the things that need to be done to help other people also.
I'm looking forward to that myself, Reverend Pinckney, and it'll be a great day when you do come to New York.
All right, again. Ralph. Listen, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want. Make sure you tell Lynn we love her. Make sure you tell her that we're so happy she's home. And make sure to tell her we're going to continue this fight.
And I'm looking forward to being out there in Benton Harbor with Lynn and with all of the people out there who have been supporting you. And I say sometimes I get all choked up when I think of that moment when we're all going to be together and discuss and work towards this liberation, this just society that we fight for constantly. Thanks
all
again.
All right, Ralph. Hey,
hello to
you
and yours and Dorothy and all of the good people that kept my spirits up when it was the darkest before the dawn, that people didn't understand it was coming, and you kept saying, it's coming. Be ready for it. And I'm beyond words. Thanks again. I can say that. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, Ralph. You take care of yourself, and I'm going to bring on my good friend Mary now. And we'll get her rolling a little bit, get people moving, keep people going in a different direction, showing the world what we're capable of doing and just keep moving. Because I think there's nothing more important than stand on top of the things that need to be done. And we have to do it, though. We must continue to stand up and fight for each other because we can't do it no other way. There's no other way that we can do this thing other than stand up fighting for each other. We must stand up and fight for each other. There's no other way. So you people out there who's not used to fighting, who's not used to standing up and fighting with each other, this is your opportunity to do the things that need to be done. And I tell you, this can and will be done, whether they like it or not. And let me bring in my good friend Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and I tell you, I really congratulate you and Banco organization. When I heard that you had turned in the signatures for the recall of the mayor of Benton Harbor. I got right on Twitter, and I'm on Google Plus and letting the world know that Lynn Stewart was your guest again today, and that everybody who doesn't listen to the show live can listen to it in the archives. I tell you, you are showing us that when you fight back, when you stand together, when you unite with liberty-minded people, people who believe in freedom and justice for all, that things happen. Lynn Stewart is out of prison, and the recall signatures for the Benton Harbor mayor, who is a black man who wants to prove his loyalty to the status quo by stepping on his own people, the recall signatures are in, and let this be a warning to all the black officials that we use the voting rights, that hard-won act that required people to be bitten by dogs and surrounded by armed police and thrown into jail. That voting rights act that we used in order to get you in office, we will use recall to get you out if you do not know how to treat your people when you get in office. You need to learn how to say no to the oppressors and say, I will stand for what's right. We don't expect favoritism. You know, over and over we hear that the president said, I'm not an African-American president. I'm for all the people. Well, we don't expect favoritism. Thank you very much for believing in equal justice. But show us some equality. Show us some equal justice. That's all we ask. If the playing field was leveled, we'll take care of the rest. But this thing is stacked against black people, and we reject that, and we reject every black official, elected or appointed, who will not at least stand in place and make sure the playing field is leveled. That's all we ask. That's all you swore to do. That's all we expect, but that is not what's happening, and that is why Reverend Pinckney and Banco Organization has fixed a recall against the mayor of Benton Harbor. Thank you for doing that. I want to say that one elected official who I campaigned for, I wrote articles for him, was Cyrus Vance in Manhattan, because he was talking a good talk, talking about he was against mass incarceration. Well, that was a few years ago. Now, this same Cyrus Vance, who's the district attorney for Manhattan, he intends to prosecute a black mental patient for not standing still and being shot dead by enraged police officers who were shooting into the crowd at Times Square and shot two citizens. They shot the citizens, and they intend to put their aggravated assault on this mentally ill black man because he wouldn't stand still and catch the bullet. He was supposed to stand still and be dead today. I tell you what, I think that that black man who was mentally ill and walked out into the traffic in Times Square and police started chasing him and shooting at him for jaywalking, I think he got more sense than all the police put together. He's got more sense than Cyrus Vance, the district attorney who intends to prosecute him for not being still and taking the bullets. That is the craziest thing I ever heard of. That shows you what type of people we have in office. We have people in office who are absolutely insane, and it is absolutely insane to use the good taxpayers of New York, use their money to prosecute a black known patient for not being still and taking the bullets. Instead, the police hit people who were on the street. And they don't want to go after the police who recklessly did that. They want to go after the black man who was supposedly mentally ill for not being still and getting shot. What kind of craziness is that? These people have gone ape crazy, and they don't mind people knowing how absolutely insane they are. And I think that that is the reason why police kill so many mentally ill people. They hate the mentally ill because they hate people who are like themselves. And I want you to know there's a great difference between people who are mentally ill and people who are targeted individuals. We have had mentally ill people throughout history, throughout the history of the world, any society you look in, as far back as you look, you will see that there were people who were mentally ill. Don't get that confused with targeted individuals. They want us to have that confused in our minds, but we know the difference. We know when people are targeted and are receiving all of these signals because they have microchips or because they've been targeted some other way through their DNA. There is a great difference between a targeted individual and a mentally ill individual. I talk about the mentally ill and how this justice system is running over them, have 1.25 million of them in prison, and now want to put this man in prison but not standing still and getting shot. This is ridiculous. Do you know it costs $168,000 per year per inmate to warehouse a prisoner in New York? $168,000 per year. Now, they're using the taxpayers' money to punish this man for not being still and getting executed by police officers because he was jaywalking. I think that is absolutely ridiculous, and I ask everybody to please email or write or call Cyrus Vance's office and let him know just how utterly ridiculous it is. Let him know that the police were running at you because you jaywalk, you would run too. You would dodge the bullets too. So what are they going to do? Turn New York into Wild Wild West? Reverend Pinckney, have you ever heard of anything more ridiculous than that?
I have not heard anything, but you know, what goes on in this world today, you just have to be prepared mentally, morally, and socially and deal with this stuff, because I tell you, it is something. And the people that usually are mistreated are people of color. And that's because we do not take
absolutely
a stand. Yeah, but listen
to
this, Mary.
I saw an article, and I posted it. It's about organs now. They are able now to clean all the cells out of organs and leave only the connective tissue. And so, therefore, then they can implant the person who's supposed to get the organ, implant their cells. But I tell you, this man was gripping a heart in his hands, and it was solid white. It was as white as new-fallen snow because it had been stripped of all the cells that belonged to the donor. And now all you get is the encasement, just the heart itself. And so this is what's happening. They're making tremendous advancements in preparing organs to be donors. And so this person who received this heart will not have to take medicines to keep their bodies from rejecting the heart because it doesn't have any of the cells from the donor. And so this is just what's going on. We have had so many people, so many missing and murdered African-Americans. And when they find them, they find their organs are gone. I tell you, they are using African Americans for their hearts, for their kidneys, for their eyes, for their everything. I'm telling you that when our people go missing, our people are murdered behind bars, our people are killed by police, you've got to check, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, you need to check those bodies and make sure they have their organs because they are killing our people to steal their organs. And this is going on now. And it's not something that I'm telling you without documentation. It is out there. Right there in Michigan, the FBI raided a place that was dealing in body parts. I said in Michigan, they raided a company that was dealing in body parts. So it's going on in Michigan. It's going on all over the place. Right there in New Jersey, they arrested numbers of Jews who were dealing in organ theft. They were dealing in organ theft because over there in Israel, you have a war going on, and those people are coming out of that war with their spleen ruptured and with their kidneys shot. And so they want body parts. We need to be very mindful of all of our people who go missing. We need to be mindful of our people who die behind bars. We need to know that these people are after black organs because black organs, I'm told that somehow the black skin cells are more valuable and more easily used by more people than other people's cells are, than other people's organs are. So they prefer a young, healthy black male. So I want you to just be careful about it. Also, I want you to know that yesterday another accident happened with my son. This person crossed the yellow line, hit him head on in the front of his car and totaled it. Now, a few months ago when he was turning into the Chevron station, the same Chevron station where I hid out, Reverend, and I told you about it on my first time on your radio show. He was turning into that same Chevron station. Yes, and a van came and hit him head on as he was turning into the drive off the street. They were coming out of the lot, and they just came on his side and hit him head on. That was not an accident, sir. Yesterday, when a woman crossed the yellow line, I don't think that was an accident, sir. And the night that I wrote about you suing the NAACP, time I hit submit on that article, I want you to know a white infinity rammed my son behind where he was. Because they follow us all the time. They knew exactly where he was driving, and time I hit the submit button on my article exposing your lawsuit against the NAACP, a white infinity just rammed him behind. And I want you to know that one ran off. That one did not stick around for the police report. But these people who stick around for the police reports, I want you to know thank you very much. We got your name. We got your address. We know who you are. You keep it up here. Just keep it up. The situation is, sir, that in Georgia, they have a black KKK. Yes, sir. All of these people usually drive white cars because they represent the KKK. So like your mayor is dogging out the black population for the white supremacists, we've got a whole lot of people here in Georgia who are the black KKK, and they work these gang stalking rings, and they position a lot of them around my house. And I want you to please look online for my article in Exposed Free Speak blog about the dramatization they had planned for me. It's a dramatization starring Mary Neal they had planned. And I want you to know it's always hard to stand up. There are always opposition to people who will stand up and speak the truth to power. Jesus faced it. John the Baptist faced it. We all faced it. But you know what? We're stronger than even they were, because Jesus said, even greater things than I did shall you do, because I go to my Father. See, we got a great mediator sitting right next to the creator of everything. And he said, speak out and don't be afraid. I'm with you. So now that he is our mediator sitting beside the Father, we can speak out boldly and we can stand boldly. And we have no choice but to do that. You see, these oppressors, they think we have a choice in the matter. But our choices are these. Our choices are heaven and hell. If we shut up when we see oppression, when we be quiet, when we see people being dogged out, when we allow these things to happen and don't say anything about it, we made our choice and we made hell our home. So I want all the ministers to know that if they don't have sense enough, if they don't have the godliness in them, if they don't have the wherewithal to get out there with you and march against oppression and get out there with you and dance and sing and hold meetings and be on the radio against oppression, if they don't do that, they better get in the act, though. They need to raise a collection in their churches. They need to have a collection basket that says Banco Organization, Reverend Pinckney. They need to support this work. And Reverend Pinckney, I thank you for letting me come on the air. I ask everybody to join me, if you will. Tonight is Mary Love Justice prayer meeting. I've started having a prayer meeting every Sunday night at 9 p.m. This Mary Loves Justice prayer meeting, and we pray about the oppressors. We pray about these awful laws that are being passed. We pray about the situations that are going on here and abroad. We pray for justice, because God loves justice, and I do too. Reverend Pinckney, please give your address and let people know how they can support God's work, because,
Amen.
You know, God is for justice.
Amen. Listen, you can support Banco by sending a check or money order to Banco. That's Banco. That's 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco, Banco, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And Mary, I'd like to thank you so much, but I got to move on. I will talk to you soon. God be with you. Stay strong. And now, I received a call last week about my good friend, Larry Pinson. They wanted to know more about his system. They wanted to talk about what is clockable hours. And, said, and they also talk about when people work overtime, they want to know how does it affect the pay system. And then he also asked, I'm asking this, is there such a thing as overtime that will help the people? Larry Pinson, are you there?
Jaleed, I'm here.
What's
man.
Up, yo?
I'm
What's here. Up, yo?
How you doing? How you doing, Jaleed? How you doing, man?
I'm
you know?
Doing great, man. Just taking it one step at a time.
Okay,
you know how I do it.
I know that's right. But
absolutely, absolutely. But listen, I did get someone calling, someone who actually wanted to talk with you in reference to CHAPS. So here's what I want you to do. This is what I want you to explain to us today.
Okay.
When people work overtime, how does it affect the pay system? That's what he wants to know. He said, where do the money come from when you work overtime? These are his questions, not my questions. So you go right ahead.
Okay, now, you said, where does the money come from when you work overtime?
Okay, let's start with, you know, when people work overtime, how does it affect the pay system? Give me that one first.
Okay, when people work overtime, it causes unemployment. Because you got to realize, in a 2080 pay system, you only got 8 hours a day for 8 hours pay. You got 8 hours a day for 8 hours pay. But in the government pay system, you can work 8 hours, but you only get 4 hours of pay. So you got to work 4 hours, and then for your benefits, and then 4 hours for your pay. But
before you go on, are you saying that you work 4 hours for your check, and the other 4 hours go towards the benefits?
Exactly right. Exactly.
Okay.
Right. That's
okay.
What I'm saying. And that's what most I would say almost every postal person that's working, they believe they work 8 hours a day for 8 hours pay, and they believe that they get paid every 2 weeks, which is not true. It's a myth. You know, if you read my book, go to my website and read my book, and you'll see those are myths. And to I don't know what the Webster definition of a myth is, but my definition of a myth is a big lie. It's a lie.
So people are not being truthful, it's when they say a myth is not someone. It's just something that, in other words, you're lying. Let's put it that way.
Exactly, you're lying, and then it's a good lie because a lot of people believe it. Everybody don't believe it, but a lot of people believe it, and then majority of people believe it. Okay, and majority of people believe that. They don't know in the system. Okay, so I wrote something up here, and I'm going to read this off, and then I'm going to go back to you, okay?
Okay.
I wrote a book called CHAPS, which was meant to provide jobs for the nation. It's meant to be a government bailout on job creations and taxpayers' relief. So I want you to write that down, government bailout and taxpayers' relief, and I'll get back to explain to you what I'm talking about in that, okay?
Okay.
In my book, you will see the difference between a person in the armed forces, i.e. soldier, and a civilian work week. What I mean by that is that my book will further explain why a soldier wouldn't earn overtime because he is technically on duty 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, different from a regular civilian who can actually work 8 hours a day and 5 days a week in a week, and that's just being called a normal work week. So depending on the type of week, whether it's a normal work week, which is just 7 days, or a holiday work week, which is turns out to be 8 days. Let me reiterate this here. So in most pay systems, in all pay systems, it's just 5 days. But it's no such thing as a weekend in a pay system, because you got to go back to a soldier. A soldier, like I said, he got to work 7 days, 24 hours a day. He's responsible for those hours, but he's not getting paid those hours. In the book, you can read the book, and you see how it has broken down. And so he's on duty, though. But then that's really not realistic, because the man, he got to go to sleep, he got to eat and stuff like that. But that's how it's done. I was on a mountaintop in Vietnam, you know, and on the weekends, I was getting paid. And a weekend is the 6th or 7th day of the week. I was getting paid for 5 days, but a week is 7 days. And so I wasn't getting paid for that.
So you were working 2 days for free?
Exactly. I was that fighting man for you and everybody else. You know, and I was doing my job. I was handling my business, man.
But you know,
for
I was
free.
With the Viennese, though. That's the difference.
But it was more than 2 days for free.
Yeah.
Because in the system, God said, when he freed his people, he wants you to work 1 week, be off 3 weeks within 1 week. That's what he said. He wants you to work 1 week, be off 3 weeks within 1 week. That's what God said.
Okay.
But a lot of people don't want me mentioning God, but that's all right. I ain't got a problem
with that. No, we want you to mention God.
Okay, but I ain't got no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, you got to understand, we want to change the pay system to CHAP pay system, and CHAP pay their own way. So in other words, they talking about Obamacare, President Obamacare, and I love that man, you know, and they ridiculed him for insurance. You know, they tell them, we don't deserve insurance. But it's a way you could actually have insurance. You pay it for yourself. So what I'm saying is, we don't want taxpayers' money paying for nothing for us.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Forget about taxpayers' money. And then you know what? Remember, you only got 8 hours of pay. And so the money got to come from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that movie Argo?
No, what was it about?
It was about deception. That's all it is, basically deception. Man,
mm-hmm.
These people over there, you know, the government hooked up with the Canadians, and they deceived a certain act that happened in Jimmy Carter area.
Okay.
When he was president. And so, but you know, people can look that up. They can go on Google, they can find that out. Argo. But it was a total deception. And so what they used the media, first of all, is that once you get in the media, you can fool the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. They had Argo, a fake movie production, and they had it on the media. So that's
mm-hmm.
why the media is constantly telling people, post office is strapped.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have no money. Which is
and
not
that's,
true.
That's not true, is it?
It's not true. You know, and the problem is the postmaster general, he know. And a 7 day system that he's supposed to run, but he went to the media and told them, "Hey, we're gonna cut off Saturday and Sunday. We're not gonna have Saturday and Sunday," because he didn't schedule Saturday and Sunday in the. He didn't schedule a 7 day work week. He got scheduled a 5 day work week, because he didn't know how to schedule a 7 day work week, and that means the 7 day work week is 6 and 7 day. Is that no? Weekend and anything like that, it's 7 days you got to go through to get to the next week, 7 days. And then on a holiday week, 10 times on a holiday week, the post office has 10 paid holidays, and it's 10 times a year, you got to go 8 weeks. And people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to break it down.
But that's all in your book, though, right?
It's all in the book. It's all in the
mm-hmm.
book. It's all
mm-hmm.
in the book. And so what I'm saying is the government, not America, because I love America, but the government is like they got a virus in the government, mm-hmm. and the virus is money.
Mm-hmm.
The virus is money. So just like the that lady said that you had on, she said that she voted for a certain person, and then he got in there two years, and then he went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think he went crazy. I don't want to use that.
But you said the right word. He had a breakdown.
Right. He had a breakdown because the money got to him.
Mm-hmm.
So they got lobbyists. They got all kind of money, boy. They gonna buy you steak. They gonna send you to Hawaii, and then they gonna change your opinion on what the people need.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we got to do. And I'm gonna give it to you straight, lad. We got to get rid of this system that the political people are working on,
mm-hmm.
and that's we're paying them with our taxpayers' money. So run CHAP in the government, in the federal government, and let them earn their own money.
Mm.
And then we will have to pay the federal government nothing, taxpayers' money.
Mm.
So that's what I meant about taxpayers' relief. On job creations, we don't want no taxpayers' money for job creations in the federal government because you got to work 8 hours a day. But a federal government job, you only get paid for four hours. And then you have to accrue your next year's salary. So you'll never run out of money. So, you know, I cringe when I hear the news media saying, oh, the post office. Man, please.
Mm-hmm.
Please. And then, you know, the post office, I'm taking up for them because I worked for them for 16 years. You know, I'm taking up for them. You know, the post office ain't no joke, man. That snail mail stuff. The snail mail is in there because of the scheduling. Now, if you had the opportunity to work your normal work hours, and you got to, I'm gonna use $25 on your normal work hours, and then if you go two more hours, and you can get $37 or $38, what would you do? You can do the overtime shuffle.
Absolutely.
And the overtime shuffle is three steps forward, two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what overtime shuffle is. And
right.
So that money, okay, and so the reason, there's no reason for, suppose I'm talking about you delaying the mail. And they get kind of angry at you, you know, the supervisor. You delay in the mail. Okay, but with your scheduling, the post office schedule is delaying the mail. The schedule do not include a 4-7-day work week. That's the problem with the post office. So in my book explains that. So you know, and then a bit, see the post office don't explain anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I got that learning by being in the military. In the schools I went to, especially OCS, down in Fort Benning, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
man, I was taught integrity. And the main thing I was taught to explain everything to your people. And then get a staff.
Mm-hmm.
Get a staff that's going to cut you off at everything. Don't get a save face. Suck up staff.
Mm.
So that's what most that I encountered. People in the government, we sent to the government, they got a staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's two senators. I don't want to mention the name, but you know, we got two senators, a Democrat and a Republican. I went to both of them. I ain't got to mention their name because the reason I don't want to mention their name is one of the reasons. No, not because they're listening, because they don't understand. They don't understand what I'm trying to do.
They don't understand exactly what CHAPS can do for them. Or maybe
exactly.
They understand it, and maybe they don't want things to work for the American people. That's another thing. But listen, I just about ran out of time, but I want you to tell people how they can get CHAPS. so they can read it and talk about it, and when you come on the program, they will understand exactly where you're going with it. Tell us how they can get in touch with you, and tell us to give us your website.
Okay, my website is chapspaysystem.com. It's chapspaysystem.com. Now, let me tell you this, little Ed, and then I'm going to get off. Martin Luther King, the great Martin Luther King, he said that we'll get to the promised land. He said he will not get there with you, which is true. We will get to the promised land.
Oh, I believe we will, too.
We will not get to the promised land, not unless we use CHAP. So we got to use the... Yeah, we don't want no taxpayer-driven pay system. No.
Yes.
We're going to stop that. And then the people that we send to Washington, they're going to have to get on CHAPS, too. They have to earn their pay.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll resolve everything. You know, just like they land on my president, you know, just like some people in the White House, they said they think, if you have a 8-hour day job, you gonna cause a dilemma for the person that's providing that.
I.e.
Absolutely. I'm gonna say the post office nemesis, not nemesis, but the UPS service, they don't hire people full time.
They don't. Yo, I gotta let you go. I really appreciate you. You know, you did a great job today talking about it, but I gotta let you go, yo. And listen, we'll get it back out there so people can know exactly what it is. But I got to move on.
Okay, let me hear you, but I'm saying this in closing.
Yeah,
run CHAPS. We gonna change the world with CHAPS.
All right, you heard him. You heard it straight from my friend Larry Pinson, who used to sit behind me in the eighth grade. So those of you out there, buy CHAPS. On that note, it's TI time. It's time for my target individuals. It's time for people to understand. We had a major victory with the target individuals this week. We had someone on Dr. Field's show who actually gave us credibility. Those of you who don't like it, that he was on there, he did a great job. He got us recognition. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend, the John Brown of the world. Ken, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinney. Thank you so much.
How you doing,
Reverend
today?
Pinney, not too bad. Reverend Pinney, I hope Ralph Newman's still on and Lynn Stewart, because I'd like for him to check out the options, because chemo and radiation is a poison. It's big dollars for the pharma.
Uh-huh.
If they would go in and Google up Dr. Tent, T-E-N-T, he's right here in Michigan. He talks about what the government does on cancers, and he says there's other cures. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. I just like to see him, you know, check out other options before you go for chemo, because there's a 47-year-old TI right here in Michigan. They took both of her breasts off, and I ended up taking her to the hospital. Now, after they give her heavy chemo and radiation, now she's got heart problems that only 40% of her blood flowing through her heart. So I hope they check out every option they got, because we want her to be around a long time.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Ken, you know, I really appreciate that you know, you took the time out to even say that. That's, you know, that's what I like about you. Go right ahead, Ken.
And he was talking about Dr. Phil. They say, you know, a lot of them say, oh, this guy, he used drugs, so his credibility ain't no good. I'm going to tell you about one of the smartest guys there is, and his name is John McAfee. You probably, every one of you has heard of it. It's McAfee. He's developing a computer software right now. He's probably a multi-billionaire. And he says that he used drugs. And he said, I don't recommend them for anybody. That was a mistake in my life. So I guess he must be a little bit crazy too, but he's made billions of dollars. Just because you use drugs one time in your life, I don't think makes you crazy for the rest of your life. So all these people putting it on, all he used drugs, so he's crazy. So that I just wanted to throw that in because I think that show really did us a lot of coverage, and it got a lot of comments on it. Everybody should go in and comment on that.
Absolutely. And you know one thing, Ken, I thought it was a great opportunity, and especially for the T.I. family. You know, they probably don't understand how important that was. Regardless of how they feel, well, he say made us look. No, he did not. He gave y'all credibility. That's what he did. He gave the T.I.'s credibility. Now other people's going to have the T.I.'s on TV talking about it, you know. So that to me, that's important. Matter of fact, I did a show just the other day, and I normally don't get calls about come and talk about the T.I.'s. I get calls now to talk about the T.I.'s. And that's where we're going with this. We want people to understand that T.I.'s are not nuts. They are people just like you, just being targeted by our government. That's where we at.
Well,
but we're going to continue this fight, Ken.
Okay, the one thing, we're all T.I.'s. So I'm telling all of you, it is coming to all of us, no matter what you think. Some of them think that they're on the winning team that's helping do this. They'll be the ones that you're talking about, the armored vehicles. They'll be the ones that they gather them up in them armored vehicles and take them to a prison camp and tell them they're going to be safe. Well, I'd like to meet them when they're in that prison camp. I don't plan on being there myself, but they better wake up before it's too late. And now I'd like to read you something that was wrote here. It says, "We know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." That's William Casey, CIA director, 1981. And you can find all this information on stopthecrime.net. So everybody should go on that website. This lady is fighting for the T.I. She's fighting for everything. They should go in and read a lot of this stuff. Here's another one. Who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control the continent. Who controls money can control the world. And that's by the biggest scumbag ever existed on this earth, and he's still living, unfortunately, Henry Kissinger. I mean, they ain't a worse demon in the world that's still breathing air. And that's what he wrote. So people better realize that they didn't write this stuff. The head of the CIA, you know, we know our disinformation program is complete when every American believes what they believe is false. So we got some rough times headed to us. So anyway, I appreciate your time, and you keep fighting, and good luck to Lynn if she's listening. I hope she lives to be 150.
Hey, I know that's right. Ken, you know, that's beautiful. Well, we're gonna go there. We're going to meet with her. We're going to sit down with her, and we're going to say we sat down with a Lynn Stewart. That's right, the people's attorney. That's who we're talking about, someone who's special, someone who have went beyond the call of duty, not only for people in New York, also for people of color. That's, you know, that's a blessing all by itself. But listen, I got to bring on Gloria right now. If you got anything you want to say, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want.
I'm good, but thank you, Reverend Pinkney, for all you do.
Hey, all right, Ken. You take care of yourself and stay focused.
Okay.
All right. My good friend, Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. Reverend Pinkney, T.I.'s, or I'd like to call us crime survivors of domestic terrorism. That's what
crime
we really are.
Survivors of domestic
terrorism.
Terrorism. Okay, very, very good.
Yes.
You know, you should send that out in the email.
Yes, I will be doing that. But yesterday, a young lady that has been pulled into the program, they get younger and younger all the time, decided to do a PSA, a public service announcement. So we met at a T.I.'s house, or a crime survivor of domestic terrorism, his house in New Jersey. That was Cleve and his lovely wife, Maria, opened their home for us to have a PSA. And the reason it's hard for us to send out money to other organizations, although we do when we can, is because this program we did yesterday we have to pay for. So in the meantime, the Dr. Phil show came up yesterday, and being a targeted individual or a CSDT, you see things a little different than other people. You know, some people feel, Dr. Phil did a wonderful thing. But Dr. Phil left this doubt, this void, or these people that say this, are they all? So a woman had come yesterday, one of our support group people, and she said, oh, he made me so mad, I wrote a letter. And when I read the letter, I said, wow, I would like to read that on Reverend Pinckney's show. And then you'll understand how we really feel and where Dr. Phil had an opportunity to do something else, which he didn't. So I'm going to read this now.
It's, go right ahead.
Dear Dr. Phil, I watched your show on Thursday, January 9th, 2014, about Matt, a man who's experiencing gang stalking. Personally, I was disappointed with your presentation of this subject. You have done a great disservice to tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of innocent, law-abiding persons who are being extrajudicially surveilled and tortured in this country 24 hours a day. This is not a problem of an unfortunate ex-addict who has lingering paranoia. This is not a game being played by a group called The Org. This is a torture program being implemented by federal, state, local intelligence agencies, and their private contractors. This is a multi-billion dollar budget per year, Senate-appropriate business being run for profit using technology which has been developed for military use. It is time you educate yourself regarding this heinous government program. The Joint Task Force for Non-Lethal Weapons and a directive of NSA, Homeland Security, and FBI refer to these persons as targeted individuals. Any excuse can be used to place innocent persons on this list, and they become unwitting subjects, which gives the military legal permission to take non-combatant civilian U.S. citizens on American soil and abuse them. Furthermore, this massive government-funded business enterprise is kept secret from many Americans under the pretense of national security, the war on terror. And if you see something, say something, rhetoric, and military directives, not law, allows for funding to be diverted from defense operations and to be used on greed in secret domestic operations. The greed is apparent when one realizes the independent intelligence contractors are either CIA, FBI, or other intelligent operatives who are double-dipping and forming their own companies to gain access to easy money, or ex-FBI, ex-CIA, ex-military employees finding easy work waging war on American citizens once their tour of duty is over and a job is needed for these exes whose only field of expertise is waging war. Typically, victims of this technology are above average in intelligence, mentally stable, and physically healthy prior to selection in the program. A professional, college-educated, nonviolent, and isolated from strong secondary family support structures. A covert brain reading is obtained to determine if the candidate can be read remotely using the technology. Once the person has been singled out, a complete survey is made of the strengths, weaknesses, personality, wealth, employment, social ties, and all aspects of the person's life. Once a baseline is established, maybe a period of several years, The person is subjected to stresses with the goal of rendering the person homeless, jobless, socially isolated, and impoverished. Attempts are then made to cause the target to be listed as a criminal or a mental patient. Finally, the experimentation begins. Microwaves, masers, lasers, LADAR, and ELF are used on the victim. Outcomes are extremely negative, resulting in physical, mental deterioration, illness, cancer, suicide, or being suicidal. No one is ever released from the program. This program is used to murder innocent people, Dr. Phil. In reality, the targeted individuals are crime victims, and the crimes are being perpetrated by the intelligence agencies and independent intelligence defense contractors. Unfortunately for your profession, the psychiatric and psychological communities are currently in the dark ages when it comes to understanding the extent of the MC technologies and the use of EM weaponry, lobotomies and shock treatments notwithstanding. Dr. Phil, you can choose to learn about these technologies and be brutally honest with yourself about what is really happening out there, or you can continue in your self-idealized view of yourself as having reached perfection and believe you have been bullied by a dope addict. Be a protector or a proponent for good, or continue on your path of evil. Dr. Jose Delgado, Dr. Ross Addy, Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, Dr. D. Ewing Cameron, and Dr. Persinger are some of the early pioneers in mind control. This is over 50 years ago, Dr. Phil. Today, there is a brain incentive Stanford Research Institute, Colonel John B. Alexander, and the Presidential Commission on Bioethics with Amy Guttman, NIH, DARPA, and tens of thousands of NSA Doman agents. This is a rapidly growing field, and they are working together to mind control the population, and not all for good, Dr. Phil. The use of these technologies is headed in a dark direction. Some of the targeted individuals testified at the Bioethics Commission, and they were refused because there was no recourse due to the commission finding that such experimentation is within legal limits. Their testimonies are still online should you wish to view their stories. Their stories started just like Matt's because it is the same program. I encourage you to read Dr. John Hall, Dr. Robert Duncan, Dr. Rayanne Kendall, Dr. Eldon Bird, Dr. Barry Trower, Washington Post Special Investigative Report, Top Secret America, NSA's document, The Future of Warfare 2025, Reporter Vic Livingston, Reporter Deborah Dupree, ACT, Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, and dozens of websites dedicated to the experiences and needs of targeted individuals. As an introduction to this subject, the mental health system has yet to awaken to the responsibility it has to victims of these crimes, much less to address this problem in the psychologically appropriate manner. Ethics and practice do not harm are germane. Issues of the perpetrators, such as hive mind, peer pressure, sociopathology, war psychology, and for the victims, post-traumatic stress are first their psychological concepts of an aware psychologist to address. Sincerely, Margaret Z. I was having a little problem because the electric company blinks my lights off and on now.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a tremendous letter, and, it's right on point. But here's where, you know, I got four of the different groups of TIs, and I have not heard one person complain about Dr. Field's show. And the reason why, they understand that you got a chance to hear the word TI. See, this is where most people are missing the boat. They don't understand just getting the word TI out there. There's over 150 comments on that. People are commenting all over the country, and there's some good stuff on there. They got some folks like some really great stuff. But listen, I'm telling you, TI.
Well, this is to make psychologists aware and psychiatrists. This letter is to help them become aware of what is really going on, because if any TI has gone to one of these doctors, they were stamped with a delusional disorder.
Probably so.
We want him to know everything about it.
Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure before Phil came on the show that Phil already knew about TIs. I don't think that he would bring someone on the show and he didn't already know some of the answers. I don't think that's possible.
Well, sometimes we think maybe the NSA had him come on. You know, maybe Matt is a real TI.
Here's what I get
maybe
out of
Matt is.
You got millions and millions of people talking about TIs now because of Dr. Field. Whatever his reason is, I have to accept it and say, well, hey, I hope he brings somebody else on soon. On that note, Gloria, you got about 60 seconds to say what you want. I got to bring on my good friend, Dorothy. Go ahead.
Well, I feel that we had a marvelous time yesterday putting this PSA, a public service announcement, together, which will appear on YouTube, and we will inform you of that as soon as it's complete. Thank you for listening.
All right. You have a good day, and it's time to bring on the young lady who's in the service, who is actually an officer in the service, probably got 3-4 degrees and working hard. My good friend Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there.
Oh, you sound good. Talk to me.
Well, I just want to kind of add a little bit more on what Ms. Gloria was talking about, Dr. Phil.
Okay.
I saw the majority of that program.
Mm-hmm.
And I, too, had some concerns. And the reason
mm-hmm.
being is that Barry Trower was not mentioned. They
mm-hmm.
did not get on Colin Ross, who's a psychiatrist who has many, many years and was a premier researcher in understanding what is going on. Now, on the other flip side of this, they clearly did not describe all the other doctors, CIA doctors, that Dr. Colin Ross actually brought into the light of truth and honesty. It wasn't the CIA doctors that outed themselves. It was Dr. Colin Ross who did that, because he found over 15,000 medical journal information pages. And he researched it and found it was being used. And this was against the knowledge, the permission, the consent, or the will of the people they were being used on. And that's the issue. Remember, the military/government uses what's known as liberation strategy. They use two sides of this. The one is stress strategy and liberation strategy. They cause the problem, then they give you the answer. And what we need is, I found it amazing that it'd be really nice to know which group this attorney, Matthew, who was on Dr. Phil, belonged
mm-hmm.
to. If anybody knows who he is, if he belongs to any organization. And the next was why there were no other TIs in the audience. Just something to think about. Let me turn the page. I was a Catholic. I grew up being allowed to be raped with the permission of the Catholic Church, brutalized, manipulated throughout my life, against my will, being severely traumatized, so badly traumatized that I didn't even understand the trauma, in which I was then, I went into college for law enforcement with an idea of going into law school, then wanting to go into the U.S. Senate. That was my career path. That's what I wanted. And yet I was manipulated into the United States military. And that involved the death of four decent, good people, young people. Four people were killed. And I, my entire life, was collapsed to put me into the military against my will. Again, under manipulation, coercion, and force. I would then be put into sexual slavery through my university, which was a state university. Now, please know, when I was a child in a private Catholic school in an all-white community, those schools, those teachers would not only have us challenge the current process of knowledge, policies and stuff, such, but they would encourage us to write papers on the Bermuda Triangle and things like that. At the same time, they were allowing us to be raped and brutalized. Now, when you say allowed to be, let me bring it back to focus.
Go right ahead.
President Bush, 43, the second President Bush, 2004, gave immunity to Pope Benedict, who was previously Cardinal Ratzinger, who for over 38 years allowed for the rape of children. He was supposed to be overseeing and stopping. He was not just overseeing, he was actually overseeing and seeing the manipulation of these children. Who were most of these children? Based on my limited perception, but also I keep doing some research on this, I have found those children were typically Democratic children, children of parents of Democrats who often voted for John Kennedy because the papacy said not to vote for Kennedy. Kennedy said he was not going to bring his Catholic religion into the presidency, and that ticked off a lot of people. They often felt he was often soft in communism. But moving forward, these children were sacrificed. I was put into, and I witness, I have a law enforcement degree, political science degree. I actually have 5 degrees, including 2 master's degrees. And I cannot work in any environment without being physically attacked, sexually attacked, or emotionally attacked. And this has been going on for well over 20 years despite exceptional credentials. And I was put into military sexual trauma in the military through torture and abuse when I left the military as a captain, as an officer, as a commander. That was a person with the rights to hold people accountable for rape in the military and sexual slavery in the military. And it is going on in the military. The breaking down of our military on horrific crimes because I kept reporting them. I was brutalized when I left the military honorably, having won multiple awards. I went to the VA and I was threatened repeatedly for well over 20 years, brutalized, repeatedly broken down. I took a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, against the last two officers who attempted to put me back into sexual slavery. I went up through the chain of command to the President of the United States at the time, which I had to do. That was President Clinton, who, oh, by the way, also came out, dated, apologized to the American people and to military who had been tortured and abused on military bases. He spoke about those things. But in the meantime, the Veterans Administration was brutalizing a bunch of us. My lawsuit was not allowed to the Supreme Court, and they called national security for reasons of national security. I did not volunteer to be raped and abused. I did not consent to go into the military. I did not consent to be brutalized. I witnessed other people being put through this. And the predators have never been held accountable. And when I, after they destroyed my marriage, dishonoring my wedding vows, as well as other people who went through this as well, when I, years later, would have to wait 4 years to find a honest, good, and decent man who was respectful, that man who was honorable, I would fall in love with him after 4 years to death of anybody. Bruce Reinhardt, research scientist at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, was found dead in his house within a week of me telling him that it was time for us to change our relationship. And I was told to shut my mouth about the military rapes or my life would end. This has been going on for decades for me and for other victims. Anytime there is a policy, please hear me, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear terms such as the Equal Rights Act, the National Security Act, those are policies. They're acts like a play. They don't have to be adhered to. They're not law. Why aren't they law that protect us? They can be used against us anytime they want to harm us, abuse us, or try to set us up for crimes. Even before I left the military, I was told that if I talk about what I couldn't even remember because I was so shattered, that they would find a way to put me in prison. I have been repeatedly brutalized and terrorized for only wanting to be whole, to have my life, to be able to have a healthy, loving relationship. And I will tell you, honestly, the majority of these people, my time frame in the military was from 1981 to 1992. The mass majority of my rapists were Republicans. Now, if you were a Republican listening in, please know, I know there are good Republicans. But the truth is that if you look back to the Franklin cover-up, which you can look on YouTube, Lawrence King was the head of the Nebraska Republican Party, who was a predator, a pedophile, who also sang the national anthem at President Reagan, before he became president, national convention. And he was involved in abusing children and getting them up to the White House, as well as into the hands of the lobbyists and even into Congress, for abuse of these children. Go out and check it out. The Franklin cover-up. No one has a right to harm any human being. And yet, now what we have with the DSM-5, which is the mental health Bible, they are trying to normalize sexual abuse, saying that sexual relations between an adult and a child is an alternative lifestyle. So pedophilia. At the same time, this is the False Memory Syndrome Foundation that also have a lot of CIA doctors such as Paul McCune and others who supported the Catholic Church in minimizing their criminal violation of children. What they have said is that of children who have, even as adults, who have been abused as children who've been victims of pedophilia, that our memories are false. And one of the reasons why that you're not hearing a lot about it is because so many of these victims, even as adults, are having our lives threatened, are being brutalized, are being killed, and are being set up for crimes. This is what is happening in America, and it is time to say no more. It is time to say, if this can happen to any of us, then it can happen to your children. And this is what's going on. Because when they're done with a lot of us, they're going to be turning on the people that are among their own. And it is time to not just say no more, but this destroyed my life, and I never consented. I never consented as a Catholic. I never consented in college. I never consented in the military. In fact, I said no, no, no. And
wow,
this
Dorothy,
tells you,
Dorothy,
and
this let
tells
me
you
say
that,
this.
In fact, our laws are
Dorothy,
not.
Dorothy.
Yes.
Listen, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I know that we got to let them know that no means no. Regardless how they feel, let's move this thing. Good job. You got 90 seconds to say whatever you want.
what you need to say is say nay, because a lot of these people don't understand no. When they say no, they believe it in the word of K-N-O-W. You know what's going to happen to you. They play word games. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to say enough of this crap, and let's put them, it's time to make a new prison industry, and that is for pedophilias and the rapists. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you, Dorothy, and people out there, these TIs out here, they are for real. This is something that actually has happened. I remember last year about this time, we was talking about the TIs. We was telling you about TIs, and a lot of people didn't believe that people could be targeted by our government. But I'm here to tell you today that they are being targeted by our government. And I tell you what, I got a couple of more TIs on the line, but I got my good friend Edward, he's coming up. But let me go to Elvira. Elvira, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. What I'm looking for, someone to help me. I'm in the state of Florida.
Where?
Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. I'm targeted by social workers and doctors. It all started over the tennis club, too, and the Venice Cove, you know. I was working with the NAACP at the time. But the girl at the Venice Cove, I think, was built, you know, they can only open one building at a time. So she needed an apartment for someone that was coming into the country and wanted to have their home built. So they put me out on the streets. I was homeless. And to bring her in, and it's a long story on all this, but long story short, I ended up in Broward General Hospital. Went after finding another moldy apartment. I was in the anti-war movement. That's how I met Lynn and Ralph. And what you said about Ralph, that's so true. Anyway, he's a go-getter. And I was really pleased. I'm really pleased to know them, to have met them. But back to the issue here. It's dangerous for me, as you know, Reverend Pinckney, you've been watching my case for a while now. It's dangerous for me to go to a doctor's office or a hospital. They have kidnapped me 7 times and put me in a mental hospital. It started at Broward General when I went in with an asthma attack in 2004. Then after I was waiting on my doctor, released me. And he never come in, but this girl came. She was a young woman, blonde hair, so this is why I didn't recognize her. And because I was sick, you know, with the asthma. And she came in, and she told me I needed a blood thinner. I haven't been the same since. And then after she did, I stopped her from injecting me. I went to sleep and woke up and found her putting it in the IV. I don't know why I didn't grab that IV. I guess I was under a lot of pressure because I had been doing the anti-war movement. I was in the out there for the poor, the human rights, just so many different. I have about 15 things, the Haitians, the Mockley workers. My list goes on and on, going into the poor neighborhood. Anyway, I left Florida in 2006, ended up in the hospital in Georgia. And going to the hospital in Georgia, and they sent me to Rome, Georgia. There's an email out called Hidden Shame in Rome, Georgia Mental Hospital. Another long story. I got to move on from it. But my thing is, I need medical treatment. And when I go, the other day I had to go to the driver's license place. It's on Oakland Park in 441. If you go up in there, you look on the trees, all this lime green stuff. They're telling people it's moss, but it's not moss. You should see me just from going up in there. I was only there for a half an hour. My skin is all burned. And I'm burned, my hands, my arm, my knee got a big burn on it. Just from going up in there. My eyes, my hair, it's awful. And most people don't feel this, but I feel it because it was injected into my body. But after a long run, people who are working in those places over there, working at the courthouse, it's mostly in government buildings as well. What I want the people to do is start demanding air quality you know, tests where their children going to school. This is what needs to be done because it's
absolutely
everywhere.
Listen, Elvira,
yes.
Tell people, give them your number so they can call you. I do plan on having Reverend Bruce Wright to call you. He's in Fort Lauderdale. Not Fort Lauderdale, I'm sorry. St. Peterborough. And I'm trying to make arrangements now. He's trying to make arrangements, and we'll see what we can do. But listen, tell people how they can get in touch with you, and I got to move on.
Okay.
I got four or five more people who need to get in to say something.
Okay, my number is 561-302-8872. Again, 561-302-8872. This is really not about me. It's about us.
All right.
And your children and your children's children.
All right.
And we
all young lady.
All
right,
then.
Thank
you.
Amen.
For listening.
All right. Listen, Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm blessed to be here, and I send out prayers and love to everyone and thank them. And this is the year, 2014, that we're all going to speak up, be more visible, and be squeaky wheels. Because they
all
don't
right.
want to say anything. This is my resolution for 2014. And all these town hall meetings, we all need to show up, whether they call our raffle ticket number or not, to ask a question. We need to be there to show our government that we're not happy. This is so important. I was told I shouldn't even go because they won't change their mind. There's Brad Sherman's next Sunday, January 19th. At Milliken Middle School in Sherman Oaks, I want to see everyone there. I want to see thousands of people, thousands of unhappy people, what's happening in our government. It's at 2 to 3:30. And thank you, Reverend Pinckney, and I hope that you are well and highly blessed by the Lord.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what, Roz, I really, you've been fighting this fight for, I think you've been with me for almost 2 years now, if I'm thinking. And I really, really appreciate that. You are a soldier, a warrior, and you got a big mouth out there. I'm planning on coming out there and dealing with David Garcia, stand beside him, go back to back, and let's fight against that L.A. school district, the union, the whole work. You need, is 45,000 teachers or is it more now? How many teachers now in L.A.?
Excuse me, the wind's blowing, so I'm having kind of a hard time. There is less now. There's about 26,000 on the UTLA rolls. That means that I sent you, they gross $49 million in dues, United Teachers Los Angeles. For $49 million, they cannot even stand up, and they don't for their teachers.
Mm.
Total disregard of life. The schools are not safe. They are in bed with LAUSD. They would not, in the sub-email e-blast, they would not print that letter I wrote to Warren Fletcher, but they printed the other ones about the $49 million. And I am hearing from other people that are in teacher jails. They go after, LAUSD goes after older teachers who will get medical, who will retire, and put them in teacher jails. If a parent doesn't like you, if you ask a student to do their work and the student, there's no consequences at LAUSD, or if an administrator doesn't like you, you end up in teacher jail. Whether it
wow.
happens on Los Angeles Unified School grounds or outside of school, and they've gone after teachers who have been off school grounds. It's absolutely
wow.
unconscionable what they're doing.
Mm.
But
it
in the LA
like
Times.
Shouldn't the teachers get together and fight this? Seems like this is something
yes.
they would want to fight.
Right, but they're all so afraid if they speak up, they won't get their paycheck. But I think that they've gone from 40,000 teachers down to about 26,000. But in the LA Times a couple days ago, there was an article, and one of the five things wrong with the city of Los Angeles in that the city is declining with Los Angeles Unified School District is failing our children and betraying the hopes of their hardworking parents. This is what the committee found. The committee should get into the truth. The superintendent, DZ, and the Board of Education has all these sweet deals going on. They're paying off doctors, lawyers, and judges to go after their teachers where a teacher's dead. My health is deteriorating. My house is in foreclosure, I think, because I've gotten all these letters now.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care what they're doing as long as they're into their sweet deals. They're too busy, which I was sprayed with a fire extinguisher, and so was Charles Smith, to put them under glass to get them out of the reach of students. They have custodians. The school district doesn't do what they're supposed to do. And I've never seen, as a mother, as a grandmother, I've never seen these administrators going after teachers for nothing. When I went a grievance at another school, the paperwork was supposed to be destroyed. Los Angeles Unified School District agreed to it. They didn't have time for that, but they had time to write me up for praying for a teacher who asked me to pray for her at the Bible club that I was the advisor to at that school. They're not teaching the students. And it's all documented. And I am not stopping. My health, you know, I go to bed for a while. I don't feel good, especially with the wind. I was the worst this winter. But I am not going to be quiet. My voice is going to be heard everywhere.
All
I am
right.
appalled at the fact that Charles Smith died needlessly because of LAUSD's negligence. I would not be sick. He would not be sick. But when you have a school district that is paying off doctors to lie in medical reports, not giving us the proper medical care, or even paying us as the law, the Constitution of the State of California dictates, these people, the Superintendent DZ and the seven board members, should all be carted off to prison, and the other members, that personnel that are doing this to the teachers.
Hey, Roz, I truly, truly understand. Listen, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want. I got to bring on my good friend Ed Wardo. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm going to court on Wednesday. My case still goes on for home health care. I ask that everybody prays that there's finally a victory, that I get help, that I get the money I need. I do not want to lose my house, and especially I do not want to lose my health. And I want everybody to make sure the medicine they're taking, and especially just like Ken said about Lynn and the cancer treatment, please check everything out. I'm not a medicine person. I loved it when you said, Ralph, that the media was just a bunch of terrorists. My prayers are with everyone. We have to unite together, all of us. We have to unite together. We have to stand up for each other. We have to have respect for each other. Or we're never going to have a change, and they're going to take over. I want to see you all the town hall meetings, and I know and I have faith in God that we all together united can make a change. And it's exciting, all of us working together, all of us encouraging one another, whatever we're going through. So I thank you. I thank all of you.
All right, Roz. Hey, we thank you, too, for the fight. You continue to fight, and we're hoping that everybody can get a chance to meet Lynn Stewart and do something constructive. But on that note, I got to move on, and I got to bring on my good friend Eduardo. Talk to me, Eduardo. It's your show now. Go where you want to go.
Yes, Reverend Pinckney. The situation with Roz, your lungs, you and I need to talk, and I'll help you reverse your lung situation. I've actually reversed the worst cases of asthma. I reverse pneumonia in under 24 hours in everyone, including my son's mother. And we'll discuss that. As far as Lynn goes, Ken was hit it on the nail. Chemotherapy and radiation is one of the biggest seven lies they've perpetrated on our brothers and sisters in this world. and you never want to get chemotherapy and radiation. I advise all women not to get mammograms. I don't care if they give them to you free. That's heavy radiation. Women get lumps in their breasts. Dr. Daniels explained that to us on other radio shows. I've always told people not to get mammograms. If you have to check something out, get a thermogram. It gives you a lot more information, and it's non-invasive. As soon as they find a lump in your breast, when they give out 10,000 free mammograms, they got 1,000 to 2,000 new customers. Only they've changed the name of customers to patients now. And that's how the medical industry rocks and rolls. The pharmaceutical companies control everything in the medical industry. They are the largest, most powerful corporations on the face of the earth, and they are owned by our government. As a matter of fact, over 70% of all the corporations in this country is owned by our government. Even the school system has huge financial investments they're not telling anybody about. If you go to the CFAR reports, Comprehensive Financial Annual Reports, there's over 181,000 agencies in this country that has huge financial investments, and they do not have to report them to the taxpayers, to the public, to the citizens, which means citizen is two parts to it. That is owned, slaves. Basically, under statute law, they no longer have to, for many years now, report anything they make a profit off of. The electric companies, the turnpikes, the throughways, the bridges, that's all profits. They do not have to report that to the public. They do not include it in the base taxes that you have to cover 100% with tax money from the people, okay? Everything is being perpetuated as a lie. It's all deception, and it's all a lie. Now, Lynn's situation, I want her to call me at 818-613-9206. Again, that's 818-613-9206, and I'd like to personally help her and discuss with her the possibilities. I worked with most brilliant doctors and chemists that exist in this country, and for over four decades they've been reversing stage four cancer, and she doesn't have stage four cancer. But if you go and get some more mammograms, which is what they do, they will radiate you 5 or 10 more times with more mammograms. In a little while they will be giving you chemotherapy and radiation, and in 10 to 15 years everyone who gets it will come down with leukemia or bone cancer. This is the way it's going. One out of two people will be diagnosed with cancer in the future. The doctors that I've worked with and learned from, the most brilliant chemists, were introduced to me by journalists that were even put in jail reporting on all the biooxidative therapies. They have over a 91% success rate at reversing stage four cancer. That's when they tell you you got 2 months to live. Make the best of it. 4 months, 6 months, make the best of it. We've already murdered you with radiation and chemotherapy. It's a lie. Total sham. There is no truth to it. I have whistleblower files that I can email to anybody, a 10-page whistleblower file from Dr. Ralph Morse that will explain that you never want to get chemotherapy and radiation. That is not the way to go. The way to reverse all dis-ease in the body, disease is broken down, dis-ease, lack of ease, stress or tension in the body, is to remove the cause. You remove the cause or it's just going to come back anyway. You don't treat the symptom. You remove the cause and it goes away. I take dogs that are laying on the floor, can't even get up, riddled with tumors all over them, and completely reverse them. And not only reverse them, get them up off the ground, get rid of all the tumors, but they become young again like little puppies. I can explain a lot further, but it takes a long time. Each subject that I'm talking about isn't I can only scratch the surface in the few minutes that I have, and I don't have much more time. Ralph, you are right about them. They're going to confiscate everybody's 401ks and IRAs. Obama is going to pass a new executive order and not announce it until afterwards. He just did 25 new gun control EO's executive orders in September, bypassing Congress. They're going to confiscate everybody's 401ks and IRAs, and they're going to just say they just nationalized them in everyone's best interest. That means the puppeteers that are controlling everything, it's in their best interest. We can save everyone, anyone that has anything, 401ks and IRAs, need to call me. I will hook them up with, there's a couple of structures that can take them out from under the United States and restructure anything they own, including themselves. There's, more than, there's two ways to go, actually. Restructure it direct to the international structure, and therefore the government cannot take what you own. Even if you bought gold and you got a certificate, the government owns the company that you left the gold in the vault. If you had the gold and silver delivered to your home, they have records of it. They will come knocking at your doors for your gold and your silver. That is not the way to go. People do not understand even what it means to be a lawyer. They pronounce it liar in the UK. The word attorney came from France. It means attorney, one who deceives. When you use the attorneys that are not righteous, and most of them aren't, most of them hang out their shingle and it gives them a license to steal. They know you're ignorant. You go into court with one of them and you're telling the judge that you are incompetent in the law. That is not the way to go. The way to go is to educate yourself in law and educate yourself in medicine. I am here to help people. That's what I love to do. And if they're willing to learn, they say when the student is ready, the teacher appears. You can give me a call at 818-613-9206. You can also go to a website that has a multitude of testimonies on one of the most amazing minerals that comes out of Mother Earth. There's Father God and Mother Earth. It's a calcium bentonite clay coming out of a 43-million-year-old volcano, and it's a subterranean mine. It's negatively ionically charged to pull all positive ions out of your body. I utilize that along with magnesium with ozone bonded to it, and I have my family has had oral health improvements in everything that we have done. Everything is reversible. All you have to do is have knowledge. And what does it say in those scriptures, Reverend Pinckney? Our people shall perish for lack of knowledge, not for lack of reading scriptures, not for lack of faith. Our people shall perish for lack of knowledge. Doesn't it say that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love everybody. And not because it's my choice. It's built into me. It says in those scriptures also, I never read anywhere in there that you have to like your neighbor. Only you have to love your neighbor. So I love you, man. And I told that to my children all their lives. I don't always like what you do, but I always love you. And the peace that is within inside of you surpasses all understanding, and the love is the greatest of all. That is who you are. The peace is another word for love. It's a feeling. The being vibrates, and when it vibrates, you feel it. You call it peace. You call it love. It's within inside of you. It's not coming from outside of you. There is this feeling of clarity, this feeling of serenity, this feeling of tranquility. It is the infinite being that vibrates, and we can feel it. You must know that within inside of you, you were given a body as a feeling machine, and that body is what allows you to feel the greatest thing that you came into this life. That's why they call the body the temple, because it houses the highest, holiest experience ever in this whole life, and that is you, the living truth, the highest truth of all, without which you wouldn't even need 2 + 2 = 4. If you didn't have your breath, which is the greatest gift of all, and when that breath stops, it's over. But every breath is a gift from the giver of breath, from that creator, from our Lord, and we need to know that which was within inside of us. We need to keep the temple pure and clean so that we can be free of disease in our body and we can actually be in the joy that we were meant to have in this life.
All right. That is tremendous, Edward. Listen, you got about 60 seconds. And give out your phone number again, and we'll take it from there because we are just about out of time. You go ahead.
Yes. Go to abchealth.info, abchealth.info, and you can read testimonials about how the bentonite clay reverses so much dysfunctional health. Put in your name and email address. Call me, and I'll discuss with you personal things. 818-613-9206, and my name is Edwin, and thank you so much, Reverend Pinkney, for the platform that you're extending to everybody and what you're doing. Thank you so much.
And thank you also. Listen, we just want everybody to know that we're here for you. We're willing to fight for you. We're willing to stand for you, but you have to stand for yourself. We know what's going on here in the world, but we have to make a stand and do it right now. But listen, unfortunately, we have just ran out of time. Let's listen to a little Harold Melvin.
got any more?
Teach it to me, and I want to suffer, venture every day.